Hello and welcome to another episode of Finally Following God's Laws, all 613 laws of God. Is it possible to keep them or too heavy a burden or yoke? My name is David once again. This is episode 17, okay? It's just flying by. This is episode 17. And you're probably thinking to yourself, David, what are you trying to accomplish by this? What are you doing, you know? And, you know, I've been going through the laws of God and they were very, very important. And what I'm trying to accomplish by this is that they are still very much active. Okay. There's still much for us, the family in Jesus Christ, the family in Yeshua. They still apply to us. Okay. Ever since the beginning. Okay. They apply to us. God gave us his instructions, his moed, his holy days, his ordinances, his statutes, to be observed, studied, okay? Observed, studied, and obeyed, okay? This narrative has not changed ever since Abraham, ever since the beginning, okay? These are his ways, okay? And he gave us these ways in Leviticus chapter 11, which we're going to be doing today, which pertains to God's dietary laws. And so many people say, no, that's all done away with. And I'm talking about Christians, okay? I'm talking about churches that no longer teach these things. And it's a shame. It's a crying shame that they don't, okay? And this is for them. Anybody out there that thinking that God's laws have been abolished, those are things of the past. That's the Old Testament. They no longer apply to us. When Jesus went to the cross, he nailed them to the cross. We are not under the laws no more, and so forth and so forth. You know, this basically what happens is word of mouth. You know, when people say that, it's because somebody else has told them that, but they don't really search the scriptures for themselves. So, you know, I've been searching the scriptures and I come up with nothing but we still must obey God's law even today. And the Lord himself did not abolish his laws. He enforced them. He came to enforce his father's commandments, his father's laws, okay? And to also fulfill prophecy of the Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits, and then leaving us the Holy Spirit on Shavuot. So he came to fulfill prophecy, also his moed, his holy days, his feast days, you know, and we got those feast days coming in the fall, the final three, okay? Okay, so which indicate and prophesy that he's going to be coming back on those set days, on those holy days. Okay, so today, though, it pertains once again to his dietary laws. Okay, but I am going to be taking you through a series just in case, okay, that you're one of those who believe, a brother, a dearly beloved brother and sister, I love you with all my heart. But if you are one of those that believe that God's laws no longer pertain to us, please just, I'm going to go over some scriptures first before I bring you those first. We're going to do six today, dietary laws. I'm going to bring you six today. But before then, I'm going to bring you some scriptures pertaining to God's law and how so many have been deceived by false doctrines, false teachings. You know, when Paul brought and wrote the major majority part of the New Testament, this is what he was talking about, okay? He was talking about fables, about myths, okay? Traditions of men. This is what he was warning about, okay? So he knew the law. He knew the law of God very well, okay? And so he was telling us, no, we have one set of laws, and that's for me and you, and that pertains to today, okay? So I came up, I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay, so the question is, I'm just gonna bring you an analogy, okay? An analogy, okay? So say you study to take you're going to take your driver's license for the first time. You're going to study to get your driver's license for the DMV or NVD, different places, different names, but the DMV. Okay. And so you get the little booklet, right? The booklet of instructions. Okay. And you study it. I remember I studied and you studied it so vigorously because you wanted so bad to receive your license so that you could finally drive. Okay. Get that new car. Maybe your mom and dad got you a car or whatever. You're going to be able to be free to drive that car. Okay. So you studied that booklet of instructions Christians, very bad. You wanted it so bad, and you studied it, okay? And so when you took your driver's test, you passed, okay? And it's like because you studied the book, okay? So then now you're driving down the street, right? And you know when to make a left. You know the instructions of the road, okay? So that prevents you from getting a ticket, right? Okay, a ticket. Then you got to go to court. You got to be seen by a judge. Okay, so it's basically the same thing. Okay, us as believers, Christians, one in Yeshua, we have been set apart by God Himself, and He's wrote us a manual, a book. Okay, of instructions, okay, and their rules and regulations. He even gave us holy days, okay, and He gave us these statutes and ordinances, okay, and He is the judge. He is the judge in the heavens, okay, and this is how He judges us, by the rules, instructions that He gave us in the beginning, okay, and He never came to abolish it. Yeshua Himself told us, I did not come but to enforce my Father's commandments, His laws, okay, so this very much pertains to you and me. So if you say, David, what are you trying to do? Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to and hoping and praying that you go through the laws of God, that you study. You don't have to watch these videos. You can go ahead. I would hope that you could, because I'm making it very easy. I'm going through them one at a time, so there is no excuse, okay? So then you could study, just like you studied for that driver's test you studied for so badly, you know, just like that, you know, you study God's word. And this is way more important because it has to do with our souls. Remember, our souls and our spirits. It has to do with Him judging us, His church. Remember, He's going to judge His church, okay? So it's way more important than a driver's license, right? So this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you to study the laws, okay? And we know those Jews, they still study His laws very much, right? Those rabbis. So we should be doing the same, because we have been brought together. I got scripture that pertains to Gentiles having that same set of rules or same set of instructions in Numbers. And I'm going to be presenting you that today, okay? And so I got another analogy that I've been thinking about, meditating on, right? I said, what if you're a lawyer, okay? So if you're a lawyer out there, what do? You study what? To pass the bar, right? You study all those laws. And I heard, I don't know, but I heard it's very hard to pass the bar exam, okay? And so what do? You study the laws. You study the laws. You need to study the laws. Guess what? If you were to happen to have all the answers to that bar exam, okay, and you didn't really have to study because you have all the answers, and you cheated, okay, and you don't know none of the laws, right? Guess what? You're going to pass the bar exam, right? But then guess what? You're going to get your first client, or you're going to get a job with a good law firm, and then all of a sudden, you're going to go to defend you, and you're not going to know none of the laws. What's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to pull your license, okay? They're going to find out you don't know nothing about the law, okay? So these laws are for us, me and you, believers in Christ Jesus, worldwide, all over the earth. That's what sets us apart, okay, from what? Man's laws, man's system, the world system. That's what sets us apart. We have our set of laws, but if we don't know them, how are we gonna know what His laws are? How are we gonna know what His ordinances are? How are we gonna know what He wants from us? Okay, how are we gonna say we are obedient? If we're obedient, we have to know His laws, right? So this is why I've been doing this, okay? Just because there's so many that are very hostile, and I don't get it. I don't really get it. Because the Father, once again, He instructs us because He loves us, okay? He takes care of us, okay? And the laws take care of us, just like man's laws take care of us, okay? They keep us safe. Well, God's laws, He's our Father, and those same laws keep us safe. They keep us in line, okay? They keep us safe, right? So that's just on the surface. but I don't want to make this video long and drawn out. So I'm going to take you through some scriptures that actually enforce what I'm saying is true, because you have some believers that will get very upset and they're trying to prove that the law is done away with, or that God changes his laws and he's a God that changes. And we know we have a God that does not change. And we can read that in Malachi, okay? I believe it's three, verse seven, okay? Don't quote me on that, but it's in Malachi 3 that he does not change, okay? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so is his ways and laws, okay? So with that, we're going to go ahead and start. Okay? And just bear with me here. Okay, 613 laws of God. Is it possible to keep them, or too heavy a burden or yoke? Let's take a closer look and see for ourselves. Remember, today is only 6:143 to 148, but I got plenty of scriptures. So just hold on, okay? Fasten your seatbelts, okay? Because I got plenty more scriptures to bring to you before we read those laws, those instructions pertaining to dietary laws, okay? So Malachi 4:4. I always bring you a scripture before, and a scripture from Psalm 119 at the very end from King David himself, okay? So Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 4. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and ordinances I commanded him for all Israel at Horeb. Okay, once again, we've been grafted in. We'll go through that once more in this video. I just wanted to really get that into you so you know that we are one with Israel and all the laws and ordinances apply to us. Okay, so remember and also be aware, okay, that the book of Malachi is the last book in the Bible, okay? You got a full Bible. You got what you call the Old Testament. I like calling the Torah. We know we got the Psalms. We got Proverbs, okay? We got all that. And then we got the major prophets and then the minor prophets. And just so you know, right there, the last very minor prophet, the last verse, this is second to the last verse, okay, when it begins the New Testament, okay? What does it say here? Right into the New Testament. It goes together, your full Bible that's in your hand, okay? It goes into what? It says, remember the law of my servant Moses. So going into the New Testament, keep that in mind. Remember the law of my servant Moses that God himself gave to Moses for Israel, okay? Also, the statutes and ordinances and holy days, okay? The statutes and ordinances I commanded him for all Israel. For now, we have been grafted in, and we have been grafted in actually before this, okay? So with that, I thought I'd find that interesting. And just remember, just always remember, whenever any of the disciples or Paul himself or Yeshua, our Lord God and Savior, he says, he points back to the scriptures. Remember, very important, the scriptures, when you're reading your New Testament, the scriptures always refers back to the Torah or to the prophets, okay? So whenever you read in your New Testament, okay, you read scriptures, you just common sense. That book hadn't been written yet. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. So they're always referring to the prophets or the Torah, okay? Or you could call it the Old Testament. I don't like calling it that because so many people say that's the Old Testament. It is no value in it no more. We're living in the New Testament. So that's farthest from the truth, okay? So I'm going to bring you scripture to help prove the point, all for God's glory and for my love for you, okay? So here we go. And I put right here, and always remember, if you were once a Gentile, you have been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. And so what this means is that all these laws, ordinances, statutes, and holy days apply to you. Check it out, okay? Check it out. Now, remember, I told you in the Torah, in the book of Numbers, okay, we have Gentiles along with Jews. And you're like, what? Yes, okay, yes, yes, yes. Numbers 15, verses 15 and 16. The assembly is to have the same statute both for you and for the foreign, the foreigner, okay, the foreign resident, okay, for you and the foreign resident. Right here, I put Gentile, because if you're not what? If you're not a Jew, if you weren't Israel, you were a foreigner or you were a foreign resident, okay? So back here in Numbers, it says the assembly is to have the same statute, both for you and for the foreign Gentile resident. It is a permanent statute for the generations to come. What does permanent mean? It means forever, permanent. It doesn't erase, okay? It doesn't disappear. It's permanent. It says, you and the foreigner, the Gentile, shall be the same before the Lord. The same laws and the same ordinances will apply both to you and to the foreigner residing with you, okay? Very important. You've been grafted in. And for us, we have the same laws, the same statutes. So no one can say that's only for Israel today. Okay. All right. So we move on. Now in this section right here, before we start the dietary law section, I'm just going to bring you some scripture of what Paul was trying to do. Okay. What Paul, in most of his letters, he's either talking about, he's talking about those who are making false doctrines and adding to the Torah. We know there's the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were adding to the Torah or they were taking away, but most of the time they were adding. He was talking about myths, okay, myths or fables. And he was warning them not to fall for these things. Do not be persuaded by men who are trying to change the ways of God, okay? This is why it's so very important to know the laws and ordinances and instructions of God as a believer, because you will be taken away by false doctrine, okay? We have a lot of false doctrine within the church. Within the church, okay, once again, a lot of false doctrine that has took a lot of believers away from the laws and instructions of God. And we're going to prove that right now, okay, with just a few scriptures here that I got for you. So I labeled this the laws, statutes, ordinances, and holy days of God. Of God, right? You said, why is that of God in red? Because once again, don't go by false doctrines, fables, or myths that were written by men. And this is what Paul was saying. So I specifically put right here, of God, okay? The laws, statutes, ordinances, and holy days of God, okay? Our Father, okay? So here we go. In Genesis 26, 4 through 5. Now you may be saying, okay, well, Moses brought the law. God gave the law to Moses, and then he gave it to Israel, and then now we have the law, because we've been going over them in Leviticus, right? And so that's not the truth, okay? His laws have been handed down from generation to generation, all the way back to Noah, all the way back to Adam and Eve, all the way back, okay? So here's proof, okay? Abraham, which was before Moses, we know this, Abraham already had his laws, okay? Genesis chapter 26, 4 through 5 says, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. This is the Abrahamic covenant. It says, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge. He kept my commandments. He kept my statutes and my laws. Now, why do I say it so slow here? Because Abraham was a human being. Okay, Abraham was a human being that kept his commandments, that kept his statutes, that kept his laws. So it is possible, yes, without a shadow of a doubt, and maybe even easier today then, okay? Because he actually covered all the laws that pertained, okay? And it was very, very, there were so many more that we today, we can't accomplish because we don't have a temple. We're not sacrificing animals. So imagine that as a human being, he kept all his commandments, his statutes, and his laws as a human being. So you can't say, no, we can't. Remember, sin was already in the world. So he did it. So we can do it, okay? We can do it, okay? And remember, it's possible. All the prophets did it, okay? Noah did it, okay? As human beings. And guess who else? Yeshua enforced his laws, his father's commandments. He did it. Is his human side did it, not his deity, his human side. And so did the others, okay? So he came to enforce his laws, okay, the statutes, the rules, and you that's why we're going through them, so that you know what they are, and you can say, oh yeah, I can do that, or today it doesn't pertain to you, okay, maybe those don't pertain to you. Go through them, and see which ones pertain to you, and you're going to find out, that's why I set out to do this also, that you're going to find out, oh yeah, I could do that. If you don't know the laws, how are you going to say you cannot keep the laws, okay? It was possible then, it is possible now, okay? And remember, we got a high priest, just in case we have slipped, and there's repentance. Repentance was offered to the Israelites way back when, and I'm going to bring you scripture that says that, okay? That repentance, if they repented, they would turn back to the Lord. Remember, he told Jeremiah, go tell them, if they repent, if they turn back to me now, okay, I will forgive them. That whole thing with Babylon could have been prevented, but they didn't want to listen to Jeremiah the prophet. There was repentance back then, okay? Just like there is repentance now. It hasn't changed. God does not change. You can find that in, once again, in Malachi, I believe chapter 3, verse 7, okay? So anyhow, so there was repentance, okay? So we do have a high priest, just in case we have broken or transgressed one of God's laws, okay? But how do we know the laws? It's not just 10 commandments. You got to go through all of them, okay? And so you'll know which ones to keep and which ones you're having problems with, which ones to ask the Lord to help you to follow, okay? So very important. The instruction book, okay? The instruction book by our Creator, our Father in heaven, you know, the manual, the basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible, okay, his Torah, okay, so here we go. So, who had the commandments before Moses? Well, Abraham had them. It says it right here, Genesis 26, 4 through 5. All right, so in here in 2 Peter, chapter 3, 14 through 17, it says, therefore, beloved, this is Peter, therefore, beloved, as you anticipate these things, make every effort to be found at peace, spotless and blameless in his sight. Once again, Peter saying that you will be found at peace, spotless and blameless. And it's like, how can we be spotless and blameless? So many times I ask a believer, can you be spotless? Can you be blameless? Can you be obedient to his laws? And they always say, no, we can't do that. Nope. We do have a sin nature that tugs at us, just like it tugged at Paul. Remember, he asked the Lord to remove it, whatever it is. And remember, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who can save me from myself, from me, okay? Oh, wretched man that I am. It's found in Jesus Christ, Yeshua, okay? Because he felt that tug of war going on in his body. But remember, if you choose the right way, you might feel those things going, warring in your members. They might be warring in your members, but there's always a way out. It's always the way out. You go to the Father, you ask him to help you in that general area, whatever it may be, okay? And you ask him to help you, and you don't need to fall into that sin. But Paul knew what that sin nature was, okay? But you don't have to willingly sin, okay? You can follow the laws, just like Paul did, okay? Just like Yeshua did, and many, many others, okay? So it says, therefore, and when it gets to that day, guess what's going to be removed? That sin nature, So it's going to be so awesome, okay? No more groaning in the body, no more tug of war in our members, okay? No more of that. But just in case, we have a high priest to go to, and he always wants you to know that you must. And he loves it when you go to him, Yeshua, our Lord God and Savior. That's what he's there for, because he loves us. He has mercy, okay? And you can repent. It doesn't, if you stumble, you can repent. He removed the death penalty, okay? It's just, he nailed it to the cross. Anyhow, so let me continue here. This is Peter. So you can be spotless and blameless. He says, make every effort. That is very important. Make every effort. Try your best. Go over the instructions here. Go over the instructions. Do your very best. Make your every effort. Make every effort to be found at peace, spotless, and blameless in his sight. Amen? So, verse 15 goes on to say, consider also that our Lord's patience brings salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom God gave him. He writes this way in all his letters, speaking in them about such matters. Some parts of his letters are hard to understand, which we know, right? But once you start understanding, it just opens up a whole, it just gets so clear. And that's what's been going on with me, okay? So it says, some parts of his letters are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort. Here's the warning, okay? Some parts of his letters are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. Now, once again, why did I put the scriptures in red? Because he's talking about the Torah. He's talking about the prophets. That there is people out there that twist his letters. They distort his letters. They take them out of context. And we see that today. There's been a great disconnect. Believers in churches will actually try to get you to say things and to change things and say, no, that's not what they're saying. But they're not, they haven't been opened up to the truth of the scriptures. So it says, it's a warning here. It says, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, beloved, since you already know these things, be on your guard, so that you will not be carried away by the error of the lawless, okay? The error of the lawless. What is lawless? We're going to be bringing you what lawless is, okay? Just in a minute, okay? We know it's transgression of God's law, and we're going to be bringing you scripture on what lawlessness is, what lawless is, okay? It goes further behind the laws of man. It goes further than that. It's transgression against God's laws. Remember that. So it says, so that you will not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure standing, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Yeshua. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Okay, so beloved, that's what I'm telling you right now. Therefore, beloved brothers and sisters, from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation, from every continent, beloved, since you already know these things, be on your guard so that you will not be carried away by the error of the lawless. This is why the scriptures, the Torah, the instructions are to be studied and to be obeyed so that you know, so you're not carried away by false doctrine, okay? So very important, okay? So next scripture, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law of God, or of the law, okay? So in 1 John 3, 4, whoever committeth sin, any kind of sin, is transgressing God's law, okay? For sin is the transgression of God's law. So if you don't know God's law, how do you know what you are a breaking? How do you know what you're transgressing if you don't know the laws of God, okay, that God himself wrote down for us, okay? So I'm going to keep on hammering that in, okay? So John 14:15, this is Yeshua, our Lord and Savior himself. In verse 15, he says of John, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Remember, so many people say, oh, 10 commandments, I keep them. Or, oh, he narrowed it down to 2 commandments. Or just to love, that's it. No, it's the full set of commandments. It's the full set of laws. He never said, you know what, I'm going to take away 600 of them or whatever, and I'm going to leave you with one. Okay, he didn't say that. If you love me with all your heart, you will follow my commandments, all of them. Okay, if you love me, okay. And so this is what he told us. Remember, Jesus came to enforce his Father's commandments. All right, so here we go. First Timothy, written by Paul himself. First Timothy chapter 1, 5-8 says, the goal of our instruction is the love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. Remember, that's my goal. That was his goal, okay? The goal of our instruction, the goal of my instruction, what I'm bringing you today, is the love that comes from a pure heart, because I love you, okay? Because you are my family. You are my brothers, my sisters. I'm not bringing you this to condemn you or to put you down or anything like that. I'm doing this. That's majorly. That's why I'm doing this. The Lord has put this on my heart out of love, okay? Because so many have disconnected, okay? So this is my main reason I'm doing this, all these videos, okay? So it says the goal of our instruction is the love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have strayed from these ways and turned aside to empty talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not understand what they are saying or that which they so confidently assert. Now, we know that the law is good if one uses it legitimately. Remember, the law is good if one uses it legitimately. Now, so many have said, oh, the law is a burden. It's a heavy yoke. We've been delivered from that law. Like they're treating God's laws, his instructions, as being bad, like no good. I don't know about you, but I know I have a perfect Father in heaven, that if he gives me instructions, that they are perfect, they are good, and they're for our benefit. Amen? So, but just be careful of those who have strayed away. There's a lot of them that have strayed away from his ways, his laws, and his commandments, and his holy days, okay? So, the law is good. Okay, so this section will pertain to God's dietary laws, okay? So, once again, I'm going to bring you some scriptures now that those who try to convince you about the dietary laws, they try to find ways and they just misread the context of the scripture. They misread. So I want you to go through these scriptures, okay? I want you to go because they are still very much in effect, okay? Remember, he didn't come to fulfill, he didn't come to abolish, but to enforce God's laws, all of them, the dietary laws too, okay? So with this, we're going to prove this, okay? So just bear with me, and I'm going to take you to these scriptures now, okay, concerning the dietary laws and those scriptures that other believers will try to prove that they've been done away with, okay? So here we go. In Leviticus, first and foremost, in Leviticus chapter 11, this is where we have the dietary laws. Also in Deuteronomy, I'm going to be bringing those scriptures. Leviticus chapter 11, 46-47. This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. So this is the law, very much still active. This law is in full effect. Okay, but this is why he gave us these dietary laws. Okay, so here we go. First Timothy 4, okay? A lot of believers will actually come to you and they'll read you First Timothy 4, okay? Just to try to prove you wrong, okay? But they're not reading it clearly in the context, okay? They're not studying enough. And I'm not putting down anybody. I'm not. I'm just telling you, study it even further. And you're going to see, just like I seen this, okay? And I used to believe that all the laws were done away with. It didn't apply to me. And guess what? It didn't help me at all. I was stuck in some bad habits that I said, well, as long as there's grace and I'm free of the law. And so I said, no. So now that the scriptures have been opened up to my knowledge, the Lord himself has opened this up. And this is, it's just been blowing my mind, okay? So then when I read it now, I'm like, wow, it's true. So I was once there. So I'm not pointing no fingers. I was once there, okay? For those that say they've been abolished, I think I even said they've been nailed to the cross. I think I even been saying that. That's not scriptural at all. So anyhow, 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is one of the scriptures that they use, okay? And maybe you guys know this, okay? Those who are watching this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 4. Now the Spirit expressly states that in later times, some will abandon the faith to follow deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons, influenced by the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared with a hot iron, okay? I was having trouble pronouncing that word earlier, consciences, okay? I don't know why, but anyhow, this is talking about not leaving the faith completely. This is talking about the faith. The faith is, there's only one faith. It's the truth of God's Torah. It's the truth of his instructions. In other words, in these days, in the days to come, in the later times, there's going to be those within the church, okay, that fall for these false doctrines, these teachings of man. Even the Pharisees were doing this. They're adding to the word. There was myths that were going on, and people were straying away from the truth, okay? So it's not talking about they totally left the faith, but they changed their doctrine, okay? They went away from the true faith, the truth, okay? And there's only one absolute truth, and that's God, what he spoke, his laws, his instructions. That's the truth, okay? So they stayed away. They strayed away from him. So it says the Spirit, very important. It says, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressly states, so this is God himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So this is the Spirit expressly states that in later times, some will abandon the faith to follow deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons, influenced by the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared with a hot iron. Verse 3, they will prohibit marriage and require abstinence from certain foods that God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creation of God is good, and nothing that is received with thanksgiving should be rejected, because it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. So I read that fast right through, because all of a sudden you pick it out. You pick it out and you take a verse, a line out of a verse, and you say, see, everything that God created is good. And they'll use this scripture and they'll say, but you got to read it slowly in the context, okay? Slowly in the context, okay? They'll say, see, everything that God created is good. That means we can eat anything we want. No, that's not what it's saying. First of all, he's warning you about false doctrine. He's warning you about those who are teachings of demons, false doctrines, okay, made up by men, okay? This is Paul, okay? So it says, right here, it says, we're going to go through this now. I'm going to go through this slow. And look at where I highlighted red. Go in your own Bibles, okay, and check this out. They will prohibit marriage and require abstinence from certain foods, okay? Those who have been deceived. And it's not God's law, okay? That God has created to be received. Once again, how can God be a demonic teaching? It's not even heard of, okay? So if you're saying, yeah, they made up the laws, those laws, that dietary laws, they're lies, okay? They're from demons. How can God, the one that wrote those laws, be demonic? It's not even heard of, right? So That's just one point, okay? But another point right here, it says that God has created, says they will prohibit marriage and require abstinence from certain foods that God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe, by those who believe and know the truth. What is the truth? We're going to tell you what the truth is. The truth is God's instructions. So you got to understand, mostly major, all of them knew the dietary laws. They knew the laws. They went to synagogue. Remember, every week for Shabbat, synagogue, that's all they did was teach the law, the prophets, the Torah. Okay, so all the people knew the dietary laws. They knew the instructions. They knew the moed, the moedim, the holy days. They practiced. They went to the holy days to celebrate. They did all those things. So they're very much aware of it. And they knew the truth. Okay, so that's what the truth is. It says, once again, now read it slowly, that God has created to be received. Okay, it says they will prohibit marriage and require abstinence from certain foods that God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Okay, for every creation of God is good. And this is where so many say, you see, you see? No, for every creation of God is good, and nothing that is received with thanksgiving should be rejected. Verse 5. Because it is sanctified by the word of God. What do I mean by that? What does it mean by that? It means that those unclean animals and those clean animals, that's what has been sanctified in the dietary laws. God says these animals are clean to eat. These animals are not. Okay, now you're getting it? It says, because it is sanctified, holy. Okay, so if you look at that verse or that word sanctified, in your Strong's Concordance, number 37, in the Greek, it's hagazio, okay? Hagiazo in the Greek. I hope I'm saying that right. That's what sanctified, it means holy or set apart. So let's read that over again. For every creation of God is good. Yes, it is. And nothing that is received with thanksgiving should be rejected because it is sanctified. So he's talking about those animals that have been sanctified, holy, set apart for us to eat. All that is good. Okay, all that is good. You can eat all you want, but be careful. You might get sick if you eat too much chicken, okay? If you eat too much fish, okay? So just take it easy on those things. But those animals have been sanctified. They're still sanctified till today, okay? So by the word of God. So I put right here, see dietary laws ordained by God. Read all Leviticus chapter 11, okay? It's just awesome, amazing. So this is what Paul was saying. Now, once again, Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 through 4, it says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and encourage with every form of patient instruction. For the time will come, okay, this is a warning, for the time will come when men will not tolerate sound doctrine. But with itching ears, they will gather around themselves teachers to suit their own desires. So they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables or myths. It's a warning. And I see it. I know you see it. If you know what I'm talking about here, you know. And I'm not saying this. I'm saying this with love. A lot of the church have said, that's it. I don't want to hear God's laws no more. I don't want to hear about you talking about God's laws. Okay, I don't want to hear about those things are in the past. They've been abolished. Don't you see that? I see it a lot now. Now that I know the truth, I see it a lot now. And I see brothers and sisters fighting with each other because of these. And I see it. I'm like, wow. And I pray for them because I was once on that side. And now I'm like, yes, I see that now. And the warning came from Paul himself. okay, who knew the law, okay? So he says, for the time will come, once again, when men will not tolerate sound doctrine, but with itching ears, they will gather around themselves teachers to suit their own desires. So they'll say, you know what? I'm going to go here and go to church because you know what? That law is gone. And, you know, you're trying to put this on me. You're trying to say I got to celebrate the Shabbat. You're trying to say that I can't eat a pork. You're trying to say that I can't eat certain foods. You know, all that's done away with. They'll act like that. So I'm going to go over here to this church over here that don't enforce God's laws, that don't talk about his Moedim. I'm going to go over here better because I don't want to hear that no more. That is going on in the church today. It's evident so much, okay? So we pray for those, okay? They're our beloved brothers and sisters, but they got to understand. We pray that the veil will be lifted off their eyes, just like it happened to me, okay? So I say this with love, okay? So it says, verse 4, so they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables or myths. Now this is like the second time I mentioned the truth and I put it in red, okay? And then, so we're going to go to a scripture that tells you exactly what the truth is. There's only one truth, absolute truth. And I said it earlier. These are Leviticus 23, Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy, wherever you find the laws, that is truth spoken by God himself. In the truth of end days, end times, spoken of through the prophets. That's why they're all there. Spoke of times that concerned at that time and then prophesied to the future all the way to the end. These are things we must know. He put them there for a reason. And we got to understand these things, especially now pertaining to the end. But number one, God's instructions, okay? Very important. So what is the truth? What is the truth? Psalm 119, verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and the law is the truth. The law is the truth, okay? Amen. So that's what the truth is, okay? Okay, so now if that's not enough for you, okay? Dietary law. God's dietary law, what we're going through today, his dietary law judgment, the dietary law judgment. Remember, he has to judge by his laws. There are absolute truth. You're like, what? Yes, dietary law judgment in the end. You're like, wait a minute. Not only back then in the beginning of Leviticus, but also at the end, which means when he returns, yes, when he returns. This proves right here that his dietary laws are still in effect and they will judge upon those laws. Remember, he has a set of laws. He is the judge. He is the judge in the heavens, okay? And he judges by his laws, his statutes, his ordinances. Remember, his justice system. Okay, that should be our justice system. And you need to get to know it really good. Okay, so it says dietary law judgment in the end. I put yes. Isaiah 66, you could go there yourself. Isaiah 66, verses 15 through 18. When you see these things, your heart will rejoice. You will flourish like the grass. Everyone will see the Lord's hand of blessing on his servants and his anger against his enemies. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his swift chariots roar like a whirlwind. He will bring punishment with the fury of his anger and the flaming fire of his hot rebuke. The Lord will punish the world by fire and by his sword. He will judge the earth, and many will be killed by him. Those who consecrate and purify themselves in a sacred garden with its idol in the center, feasting on pork and rats and other detestable meats, will come to a terrible end, says the Lord. Once again, feasting on pork and on rats and other detestable, unclean animals. You got to understand it's in full effect. He's going to come back to judge those. Very important. And with that, here we go, 143 to 152. And you might be saying, well, David, you never ate pork. Well, you know what? I was like the number one lover of pork. All my family knows this. That was my number one. I used to get these gigantic burritos. I used to eat a pound, okay, of pork. Okay, I'll get myself a stack of tortillas and some salsa, some avocado, and I used to eat a whole pound by myself. I used to gorge on pork. I'm talking about sausages. I'm talking about bacon. I hope I'm not getting you hungry. Did it taste good? Oh, yeah, it tasted good. But then when I learned, it's been over like close to a year, maybe longer. Not that long. I've been eating kosher. Because why? Because I want to honor God's dietary laws. Now that he's opened my eyes up, I'm saying, oh, okay, no problem, Lord. I don't want to transgress that law. And guess what? It hasn't been hard. I haven't been getting convulsions and detoxing from eating pig. You know, it's you know, I just said I left it alone because I honor God. And, you know, I didn't have no relapse, you know, no hard time doing it either. And it's good. It's good for you that you don't do that. OK, but especially because you honor the Lord because he placed those laws. OK, and we must honor him. If we love him, we'll obey his commands, okay? So with that, we're going to go ahead and go through 143 through 152, but I got one more verse, okay? One more slide, okay? Please read all of Leviticus chapter 11, okay? In the full context, and Deuteronomy chapter 14, 1 through 21, okay? In the full context of our Lord's dietary laws. Once again, Deuteronomy 14, 1 through 21, and Leviticus chapter 11. Okay, here we go. You're probably like, finally, David. I just hope you go through that again if you didn't catch it, especially if you don't believe in these things. If you're one of my dearly beloved brothers and sisters that think that all his laws have been abolished, okay? I do this in sincerity of heart, okay? Because, you know, for the love of Christ, amen. We all want to be found obedient and repentant and amen. So here we go. 143, to examine the marks in cattle so as to distinguish the clean from the unclean. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 2. Say to the Israelites, of all the beasts of the earth, these ones you may eat. Okay. Say to the Israelites, of all the beasts of the earth, these ones you may eat. Okay. So 144, not to eat the flesh of unclean beasts. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 4. But of those that only chew the cud or only have a divided hoof, you are not to eat the following. Okay. So that's why I said, you're like, well, what are the following? But it's a long list. Okay. So you got to understand, I can't fit it all here. So I want you to go to Leviticus 4. I want you to go read all of Leviticus. Okay. So 145. To examine the marks in fishes so as to distinguish the clean from the unclean. Leviticus 11, 9. It says, of all the creatures that live in the water, all the fish, whether in the seas or in the streams, fresh water or salt water, you may eat anything with fins and scales. Anything with fins and scales. So you check it out for yourself. All those bottom feeders don't have fins. They don't have scales, okay? So the bottom feeders, what? Shellfish, lobster, crabs, okay, shrimp. One of my favorites before, shrimp. I don't eat it no more. Just all that. I don't eat lobster. I don't eat none of that, okay? All bottom feeders. It's not too hard to stop. If you really love the Lord, you say, no, well, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because the Lord says not to. Okay. So this is our instructions. Okay. So as a believer, okay. And we have to pray for the other believers that don't believe at all. Okay. That don't believe at all. We got to pray for them so they will repent. Okay. And climb aboard. Okay. So 146, not to eat unclean fish. Once again, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 11. they shall be an abomination to you. You must not eat their meat, and you must detest their carcasses, okay? You must say, no unclean fish, okay? Remember, it says it's an abomination. They shall be an abomination to you, okay? All right, so 147, okay? To examine the marks in fowl so as to distinguish the clean from the unclean. Once again, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 11. You may eat any clean bird, okay? So you're like, well, what's a clean bird? Okay, I got a little picture at the end of clean and unclean animals, just like a little slide, okay? So you kind of could get the picture. I learned though that a giraffe is clean. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I just learned that the other day, that a giraffe is actually clean, okay? Check that out, okay? So it says 147, to examine the marks in fowl, so as to distinguish the clean from the unclean. Deuteronomy 14, 11. You may eat any clean bird, okay? So go to chapter 11 and check. I mean, go to Leviticus chapter 11 and find out for yourself what birds, okay? All right, because it does have a nice long list for you, okay? So 148. Not to eat unclean fowl. Once again, unclean fowl. So eat clean fowl and check out Leviticus 11, 13. Once again, all chapter 11. It says, additionally, you are to detest the following birds, and they must not be eaten because they are detestable. So you're like, I wonder what they are. Well, go there. Go there and read it for yourself, okay, to find out what birds he's talking about, okay? So we know there's birds, okay? Like I said, I got a slide that kind of gives you pretty much which ones, okay? So here's the slide, okay, that I was talking to you about, okay? And then we're going to wrap this up, okay? And then I'm going to bring you more scriptures on the next video, okay? Some more, because I wasn't able to put all of them for time's sake. But there's also other ones like Colossians. I believe it's Colossians 4. Don't mark my word. But the whole chapter has nothing to do with God's laws. And you're like, I think that's a chapter that certain believers actually use to try to prove you wrong. Okay. But they take it out of context. Okay. Sad, but true. Okay. So I'm going to bring you that next. Or Colossians 2 or Colossians 4. Anyhow, the whole chapter. Most of Paul's letters is against men's fables or man's made-up doctrines, okay? So if any time you have a problem with Paul, that's what he's basically telling you or warning you about, okay? Not too hard to understand once you understand what he's saying in all his letters, okay, especially pertaining to the laws, okay? So here we go. Set apart. It says sanctified. Set apart, remember. Sanctified or set apart. Okay, so we have the images there, okay? Not the actual names, but you could tell what we're talking about here pretty much. This is the cow. Oh, so you can eat hamburgers. Yes, you can. You can eat steak. Yes, you can, okay? But that's good because I love hamburgers, okay? So yes, you could eat beef. You could eat a steak, okay? You could eat these things from the cow, okay? So what a blessing, right? Menudo, okay? You can eat menudo. Okay, I love menudo, right? So this right here looks like a goat or some kind of lamb or goat. You could eat it. This we know is a sheep or lamb. We know we could eat it. We got a duck here. Good. A lot of Chinese Orientals love duck, okay? So you can eat a duck right here, okay? We got a turkey. Oh, one of my favorites. One of my favorites. I do eat a lot of ground turkey, okay? So turkey, just my favorites, one of my favorites. Chicken. I eat so much chicken, roastery chicken, fried chicken, very seldom. I used to eat a lot of fried chicken, but I love fried chicken too. But chicken is like, oh man, God knew what he was doing when he made chicken because I love chicken. Anybody who knows me knows that I love chicken, okay? So that's why I'm laughing, right? So fish, okay? So we got fishes with gills, okay? Fins, okay? We know this, okay? That we could eat these. I don't know what types of fish they are, but they're fish with gills and fins, okay? We could eat these fish. Trout, and all these different fishes we could eat. Dolphins don't have it. No, we can't eat dolphins. And you know that. We don't eat dolphin, right? So common, set apart. Okay, these are unclean animals. Unclean, okay? The swine, okay? The swine, the piggy, okay? Just if... I was looking at some pigs, you know, and just it made it a little easier. And I don't want to gross you out, but, you know, a neighbor has some pigs, you know, and actually they do grow them to eat them. OK, but I was looking at them and I seen them going to the bathroom and what they live in, like they live in their own poop, you know, they live in their own poop and their own pee. And I just seen it for myself for the first time. And I seen when the pee, I just don't want to get grossed out. But it made it a lot easier to not to eat pork. I'm like, I'm not eating that thing. No way. So I'm just, they just don't know. That's I'm not putting them down or nothing like that. So no pig, rabbits, no rabbits, no cats. I mean, that's a cat. You're not going to eat a cat. It's like, why not? You know, there's some places do eat cats, but you're not supposed to eat cats, okay? Or dogs, okay? So you got I think it's a, I forgot the name of that bird. Anyhow, we got the owl, okay? And we got the crow. I think that looks like a crow or a raven. We don't eat that either. We don't eat the owls, okay? And this is a vulture. I think it's a vulture. There's some cartoons, you know, they go, So I think it's that bird. You don't eat that bird. And then we got your bottom feeders, okay, of the sea. You got a squid there, I think, or a lobster, and you got your dolphin. You don't eat dolphins, okay? I believe they don't have the gills. They don't have the gills. They have the fins, but they don't have the gills. Anyhow, so that's just a small one. Remember, go through all the dietary laws. It mentions every single animal, and these are just the common ones, the set apart and profane ones. So they're still very much in effect, his laws. We took you to Isaiah, okay, chapter 66, and we know that they were eating detestable animals. He came back to judge them, okay, and they were eating swine and rats and all sorts of things, right? So with that, we're going to bring you to the scripture by King David. We're going through Psalm 119. This is from the Berean Study Bible, which is actually a very good Bible. I've been going through it. It's actually Berean Study Bible. It just was made available to buy, to purchase, and you can find it on Bible Hub. But yeah, but the Berean Study Bible, it's a very good Bible. And so Psalm 119, 113 through 120. The Hebrew letter here in Psalm 119 in this section is Samech, okay? Samech or Samech. The H is silent, I assume, okay? Hopefully I didn't pronounce that wrong. I probably did, okay? So 113 through 120. The double-minded I despise. Now, we're going to pray into this, okay, as we usually do. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we come before your holy presence, and we pray this psalm by your beloved David, Lord, King David, Lord, that he wrote down, Lord, and you and I both know who he is, Lord. So we pray this, we pray into this, Lord, and we say, the double-minded I despise, but your law, O Lord, I love. You are my hiding place and my shield. I put my hope in your word, O Lord. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may obey the commandments of my God. Sustain me as you promised, O Lord, that I may live. Let me not be put ashamed of my hope. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me, and I will be saved, that I may always regard your statutes. You reject all who stray from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is in vain. All the wicked on earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies, O Lord. My flesh trembles in awe of you. I stand in fear of your judgments. We pray this in the name of Yeshua, our Lord God and Savior. And I couldn't help but to read the part here where it says right here, it says, depart from me, you evildoers, that I may obey the commandments of my God. Sustain me as you promised, that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me, and I will be saved, that I may always regard your statutes. This is the one right here I was talking about. 118. You reject all who stray away from your statutes, from your laws. So this has not only to do with the wicked, unbelievers. This is not just to do with them. Like I said, my prayer and all my love and sincerity goes out to those churches that feel this way, those believers that don't know any better, that don't read the scriptures right or correctly, the way I used to, that have strayed away, that they say they've been abolished and that they're no longer, and they just go about their business not knowing better. I pray for them. So it's not only the unbelievers. It's within the churches that have walked away from his ways. But look what it says in 118. If you reject, says you reject. He's saying the Lord rejects. You reject all who stray away from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is in vain. And so please, I implore you, please take a look at these videos again. Meditate on them. Search the scriptures, and you'll see what I see. You'll see what so many others have seen, the truth of his words. His ways are our ways. Amen. Amen and amen. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and end this video now. I hope you have enjoyed it. Go over it again. Please share it with other believers. If you don't believe me, put it to the test. Seriously, if you don't believe me, believe God's word. Put it to the test and study these things yourself. Truly meditate. Read it slowly. Don't believe others that are trying to sway you away and tell you, no, no, no. Read for yourself. And you're going to say, pray to God and ask him to reveal if this is the truth. Okay? And please, just study yourself, and you're going to come to find out. I wouldn't stir you wrong. I really wouldn't if I didn't know this was the truth. Seriously, okay? So I love you with all my heart. And remember, with all this, we say amen and amen and Maranatha. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come, okay? Goodbye for now, but never forever.